morning to not talk about Colossians. I mean, we've been in Colossians for 8 months. But it's funny, I was joking with Dave the other day that we really thought we left a couple things we could have talked about even more. And so, ironically, we thought we could have went another month or so. And we just love that book. I love the supremacy of Christ in chapter 1. That's my favorite part of the of Colossians. And I just, it's just, we thought we could have broadened our horizons there even more. But anyway, we're going to go through the month of July, and we're going to talk about core values. And what we decided to do as a leadership not long ago is we thought, let's take a look at some things we really want to be known as good at here at CCW. And we really, at the end of the day, we understand this is our role model, right? This is how we live our life. This is our instruction booklet. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, we know our mission statement here is to go make disciples, right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so what does that mean? Some of you guys have been making disciples for years and years here, and you've got a kind of a little knack to doing it. You have your way of making disciples, and you have just a gift to doing it. Some of you guys are really starting to get good at it, and you're learning what that means. And some of you guys are like, I want to do this. What does that mean to go make disciples? How do I do that? And some of you are hearing this for the very first time. So we thought we'd do as a leadership is find out what are the things we want to be good at as a culture here at CCW so that we can make disciples. What are the handful of characteristic traits we know Jesus has so that we can make disciples? And so we thought we'd do is break it down into five sections. And so section one is this. It is this. Biblical truth. And that's what we're going to study today, but I want to roll through the ones we decided as. Is God's Word our guide? It's important to know where your instruction comes, right? We often joke that Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth, right? This is our guide. We have to agree that this is our guide. We're going to talk about that today, so I'm going to roll to the next one. Inspired worship. Is our worship more than just a song? We hear there's a song that says that. Is our lifestyle that of we are made to worship Christ? Don't get me wrong, I love to sing with you guys. I love to worship God through song with you guys. Some of you guys can really dance, by the way. I just want to point that out. But our lifestyle of worship, it's how we live our life. It's how we do things. It's how people see us. Worship is more than just singing to God. It's about being to God. How do we spend our time, our energy, our resources? And we're going to talk about that more next week. Is our worship more than just a song? We want to be known as a church that our lifestyle is that of worshiping Jesus because it's attractive to the outside world so that we can make disciples. Then we're going to study real relationships. Do we have people we can live life with? I think the answer here is definitely yes. I have gobs of people that I can call and say, hey, listen, this just happened. Can you pray for me? Guys, do you have somebody you can call and say, I just got bad news from the doctor. It's not good. It's cancer. Can you pray for me? Do you have somebody that says, you can call and say, I just lost my job. I got a mortgage due in 2 weeks. What am I going to do? Can you pray with me? On the other hand, do you have people you can call and say, hey, I just got a raise at work. I'm going to be able to make that mortgage payment. Can you celebrate with me? Things like that. We have those people in this church. They're everywhere. But we want to make sure we're known to be good at these things. We don't want to lose sight of what God has blessed us with so that we can become attractive to the outside world so we can make disciples. Real relationships. We have those here. Selfless service. Are we all about serving others? I think, once again, we're good at that here. Just for a Sunday morning service, you guys have any idea the amount of selfless service that goes on just to make this happen on Sunday? This doesn't count Saturdays and Wednesdays and all the other things. When you guys walked in, you probably got greeted by a bunch of smiles from the door. People who said, I want to serve somewhere. Let me go be a smile at the door. I'll shake some hands. We just worship with a great praise band, right? I mean, these guys are fantastic. They put in hours of preparations to do what we just did here, selflessly. We have a soundboard. We have ushers that pass out communion, that do all kinds of things. There's people serving everywhere. There are ladies that get together at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning to make the snacks you eat on Sunday morning. We selflessly serve here. We do it because Jesus set that example, did he not? Right before he goes to the cross, he takes off his outer garment, gets down on his hands and knees, and washes the feet of his disciples and says, go be like this. Go selflessly serve people. You want to be like me? Serve. I think we're good at that here. I really do. We don't want to lose sight. We want to become attractive to the outside world in this area so we can make disciples. And last is spirit-led living. Is God in charge of our lives here? I think, once again, it's a resounding yes. But we want to talk about these things. We don't want to lose sight. We're going to talk about that a little bit later today, about what happens when we start to kind of stop talking about God's laws and stop trying to emulate Jesus Christ. It gets watered down. I'll bring that up again later, but I think, once again, God is in charge here. We are people that live by God's Holy Spirit here. We are directed by His guidance. And that's attractive to people. These lists of characteristic traits are attractive to people. I really believe that. People want to know where their boundaries are. They want to know a place where we are known as a church that feels like home. I ask people all the time, what is it about CCW like? Oh, I just felt like home as soon as I walked in. Felt like it was family here. And that's attractive to the outside world so that we can make disciples. So I hope that helps the mindset of why we decided to go through this. And so today we're going to talk about biblical truth. And one of the foundational scripture verses in our evangelism training class that Randy and I teach January through March is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And it says this. It's important to know this. All scripture is God-breathed. All of it. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all of this thing is God-breathed. We don't get to just pick and choose the parts we like the best, the parts that don't challenge us, or the parts that, when there's conflict that arises, we don't want to go there. We have to agree right here that this is our guide. Because if it's not really else much matters. And the purpose for this thing is for what? So we can teach and rebuke and correct and train each other. In what? In righteousness. The right relationship with God. And this is done so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you guys know that God prepared you in advance for good works? Ephesians 2 talks about this. You were made to do His work. You were made to do His hands and feet. But He won't force you to do it. You have to be willing to say that God is the boss. Scripture is God-breathed. I find out how to do those things in this right here. This is our boss. We have to agree on that. And so sometimes what happens is we get in a spot where we don't want to hear the truth. That's okay, God will wait for you. And sometimes we get into a spot where we want to debate the truth. And the beauty of God's word is this. You're not going to be debating me. You're going to be debating God. And so that makes it easy because God's word has been truth since day one, and it will always be truth. So here we're in biblical truth, right? So if we're going to debate whether God's truth is what we're going to live by, we find ourselves caught right in the middle of a moral spiritual dilemma. Do we live right here under God's authority, living our rules and our lifestyle and our patterns to please Him because we know His ways are best? Or do we live over here under the world's rules and laws and live by their standards? And you know what I'm talking about, the way the world lives versus the way that Christ's followers live. Sometimes we try to do this, right? We try to live under the world's guides and just kind of play a little church. I'll show up on some Sunday and do my good guy work, throw a couple bucks in the communion plate. I'm sorry, in the offering plate. No, don't throw it in the communion plate. But you see what I'm saying? We try to do things the world's way and say, just, I'll exist over here. I'll get my good guy card punched and maybe God will see that as a good deed and I'll get to heaven. But God says differently. He says, if you're one of my kids, you live here. We don't live over there. You live under my authority, my rules, my guidelines, and we exist over here to make disciples, to do His work. And so what happens when you try to do this? God calls those people lukewarm. And what does He do with lukewarm people? That's right, He spits them from your mouth, from His mouth. So we don't want to go there, and we definitely don't want to live over here. We want to live under God's authority. So that being said, where is your instruction book? Is it in you? Do you read it? Do you know what it says? Do you know how to be that way? And I find that the people think that's attractive. I really do. They want to be around people who know what Jesus says. Peter and John were praised because they were found to be people who must have spent time with Jesus. They're just ordinary men. I want to be that way. And so we find ourselves being like this, and Peter talks about this here. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. So my question is this. Does the world know you as an alien or a stranger? Are you known to them to be different? Or do you look just like them and you waste a couple hours on a Sunday morning? Because that's really kind of what it is. And there's the challenge. I don't mean to be harsh here, but we need to be known as people that live this way And they look at us as strange, even if they accuse us of doing wrong, whether it be out of jealousy, whatever the reason, we need to look different than them. And so the question is, do you? I'm working at trying to be different than the world. I really am. I know where my instructions come from. I know who my God is. And I know where to find his truth, because there's no situation, and you'll come across in life, where you can't find the answer in here. And you might be thinking, well, that's weird. I'm going through this thing, and trust me, the answer is in here. If you look for it, the answer is there. You may have a different face or a name or a storyline to it, but absolute truth is definitely found here. So, God is our boss. We do not follow the rules of the world, right? If we establish that, we're good to go with that. So that being said, what we look at sometimes, we look at God's laws, and he has the Ten Commandments, right? We've studied those before, and those sound real simple, right? Even the world would agree with most of them. I mean, don't kill people. It's pretty obvious, right? Don't commit adultery. Don't worship false idols. Be careful, because that's another story for another day. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. All these things we look at, and we're like, I can get on board with those. Even the world would agree that most of those things are pretty good. But when you dig into God's word, and when Jesus was asked which of these is most important, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Second one's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So define that. If the rule is to love God with everything you're made of and to love your neighbor as yourself, would you need a police officer in our world? Would you need a military ever? If everybody thought that way, and that's how we lived our life, finding out where truth is, I believe the answer would be no. So define the Ten Commandments as these good list of things, right? But the trick is to love your neighbors yourself, to love everybody. And part of that love is defining who your boss is. We think God's laws are weird sometimes. Oh, you know, that's a harsh. He's trying to keep me locked up and doesn't want me to have any fun. But let me share with you a list of the rules of the world lives by. Here in our country, we think God's laws are hard, right? In Alaska, did you know it is illegal to wake up a sleeping bear for a photo op? Just saying. I think it's probably more stupid than a law, but we actually have a law in place that says that. In Tennessee, it is illegal to catch a fish with a lasso. I mean, when do we need to address that? In California, you cannot eat a frog that has just died in a frog jumping contest. And we think God's laws are weird, right? In New Hampshire, you cannot collect seaweed at night. You have to do all that during the day. In Ohio, you guys are going to make fun of you here, it's illegal to get your fish drunk. I want to know why we needed to address that law. Anyway, in Alabama, is it illegal to drive blindfolded? Apparently in Florida, it's not an issue because you've been on 19, but... However, in Florida, it's illegal to sell your children. So, if you want to do that, you got to cross state lines. I imagine wildfire might be a little sparse next week. There's actually a town in Montana that says your squirrels cannot worry. There are no worrying squirrels in that town. You guys can worry all you want, right? What's Dave say? Why pray when you can worry? But you better clean them squirrels up. Lastly, I got to go back to Tennessee. These guys are awesome. It is illegal to shoot game from a moving vehicle, unless, of course, it's a whale. So if you're cruising through there and you got your loaded rifle, you can shoot it, as long as it's a whale out there in Tennessee. Anyway, what happens sometimes, those are the crazy laws, but let me get more serious on a couple of laws we actually have in our country, or just cultures, if you will. In our country, it's perfectly legal to destroy another human being's life simply based on the fact that it has not been born yet. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? But it's still legal. Culturally, it's perfectly okay to have sexual relationships with anybody you want. It's kind of okay, right? This is the way the culture tells you. Kids don't believe that. That's not what God's kids do under this authority. It is perfectly okay in most states now to marry anybody you want, regardless of what they are, because maybe God made a mistake. And he's telling us right here how to live, and I don't believe there's mistakes in this thing. And I don't mean to be controversial here. I'm just saying we want to be known as this, or we want to be known as this. Which lifestyle are we going to pick? And I don't know about you, but I love God's authority. It's good for us, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. And sometimes we don't want to live here. We want to live here, but some traditions have gotten in the way. We stop reading God's word for ourselves. We got certain characteristics or certain laws that God has for us mixed up. And I don't know why that is, and I don't know how that starts, other than the fact that we've not been told to read the Bible for ourselves. We've not been encouraged to go find out what God says about things instead of listening to what man has said. I love in Acts chapter 17, Luke, the writer of the book, is so encouraged by the church at Berea because they always checked up on Paul. Every time he was talking, they says they were daily checking up on what he said to make sure for themselves that maybe Paul didn't make a mistake. And yes, Dave and Joe and the guys that preach up here are very biblically sound people, but I encourage you to go read for yourself. Find out. I mean, none of us are Jesus Christ, so there's a chance there's a mistake being made. I don't think we do that, but you need to go find out what God says, because what can happen sometimes, you take man's word as gospel instead of God's word as gospel. And so, baptism. How did baptism become a thing where we don't view it as important in God's eyes? Every time I hear somebody say, oh, I did the Romans Road thing, I'm thinking, oh, here it comes. We're going to pray Jesus into our heart. And we've talked about that a bunch of times here. That's not scriptural. There's no place in God's word that says that. Yeah, Pat, but what about Romans 10:9, where it says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. That's a factual statement. I'm not arguing that. But define calling Jesus Lord. Right? So the scripture says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? So define calling Jesus Lord. Let me ask you a quick question. Is anybody here a painter? I mean, not that paints houses. Anybody here an artist that paints? Does anybody do that here? All right, not a lot of artists here. That's okay. But let's just pretend I asked one of you. Let's say Frank's a painter. I say, Frank, I hear that you're a painter, and I want to learn how to do that. I believe that you're a painter. I've heard some stories that you're a painter. Would you take some time and show me how to paint? And you say, sure, I'll meet you on Saturday in one of the rooms here. And so we get here on Saturday, you've got the place all set up, and you've got an easel for both of us and a couple of canvases and a bunch of paint set out there. And then so you start going at it. You say, hey, watch, do like this, be like me. And you paint a border, and you start painting this beautiful picture. And I say, Frank, that's awesome. I want to do that. Show me how. You say, okay, do like I did. So I dip my brush in, and I just fling it all over the canvas like this. And Frank, being patient that he is, he says, wait, stop, Pat. Be calm. Just study my hand. Let's do the border first. Okay, try that for yourself. And I dip it in, and I do the same thing. I just fling paint all over the place. And so he stops me again. Okay, let's start here with the background. Let's do this. And so I'm watching him and say, yeah, Frank, you're a good painter. So I dip my hand in the paint, and I just throw it all over the canvas. How long do you think I would be able to do that before Frank said, you don't really want to learn how to paint? You maybe don't even believe I'm a painter. You see where I'm getting with this? Why do we call Jesus Lord, Lord, and don't do what he says? You know what he says in Mark 16:16? In red letters in your Bible, meaning Jesus is talking, he says, those who repent and are baptized will be saved. If you do not repent, you will not be saved. So calling Jesus Lord, Lord means something different than saying, Jesus, you're my Lord, I'm heading off to live the way the world does over here. And believing that God raised him from the dead, what does that mean? What do you believe in about that? Does that mean you believe you're allowed to say that once? And well, James 2:19 says, good, even the demons believe that, and they shudder. It's more about just saying a word, believing this, and heading on to life. Calling Jesus Lord means you are willing to say, whatever you say goes. Your authority is what I'm going to live under from here on out the rest of my life. And Acts 2 clears it up really well. Right before 2:38, the scripture we all know really well, Peter addresses the crowd and he says, you guys killed this Lord and Savior that God raised from the dead, called Jesus Christ, and now he's become Lord and Savior. And what do they say? They were cut to the heart. We were cut to the heart. What must we do? Cut to the heart sounds like what? I believe what you're saying. I believe this Jesus is Lord. What must we do? A confession. I want to follow Jesus. And he says what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will not see Jesus face to face without the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to clarify something. I'm not God. And if God wants to do something, he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, however he wants to. And if he says, you're with me, you're with him. I'm not the boss. But what I'm telling you is the booklet that I've been handed to instruct on life states this is the salvation experience. So I just want to make sure we don't water things down through time based on traditions and things we've been told, because that's what happens sometimes. And once again, I do not want to be controversial, But what I want to do is make sure you guys understand at CCW, we're going to live under biblical truth, the authority with which we were handed, not by some traditions. It's real important to separate those two. Let's do this. Let's go back to Old Testament here. Excuse me. Would you guys, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible, chapter 6. What's happened here is Moses is addressing Israel, and God is getting ready to deliver the land to them. He promised to Abraham and Isaac. He says, but before you go there, he's already given them the Ten Commandments. He says, before you go there, I want you to talk about some things. I want you to remember my word. I want you to focus on this so that you don't forget again. So, if you guys are there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go right to verse 1. Here's some pages still. I'll wait a second. All right, in verse 1 it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord, your God, has directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. That might be the world's longest sentence, but what he's saying here is you, your children, their children, don't forget who I am. We talked on Father's Day a couple weeks back about whose job it is to pass the baton down. It's your job to teach your kids. Teach them the things I've taught you and better, and so that you can, that they can teach their kids. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget my authority with which you live. He proves that further as we go on here. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord of God, your Father, promised you. Hear, O Israel, a second time. You know what he's saying? Pay attention. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Now listen to this. Verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and with all your strength. Sound familiar? These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's important, is what he's saying. Wherever you go, when you get up, when you talk, tell your kids everything. Talk about me. Talk about my commands because they're important for you. I love you so much, I don't want you to forget. This is really about love. It's not about making a bunch of rules that aren't fun to follow. I know it's good for you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, David said. He knows what's important for us. He knows what's good for us. It's not for him, it's for us. Let's go on to verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. So wait a second. That sounds kind of familiar. So God paid a sacrifice we just celebrated that we didn't earn, called Jesus Christ, who is currently building a house for us in heaven that we didn't earn. That just kind of sounds familiar, I think. Let's not forget about that. Pick up me verse and down in verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord your God has commanded you? Tell him this. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all his decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. That will be our relationship with God. Be careful to remember whose you are, what laws we follow. Talk about them. Sing about them, as we just did. Remember them through communion. He is going to deliver us. We were once slaves to a thing called sin, as they were a slave to a thing called Pharaoh, but he brought us out with a mighty hand called Jesus Christ. It's powerful that we remember that, but sometimes we water down God's truth and we forget to go back and study whose we really are, what authority we live by, what's important to you. Yes, I see this going on in life. Should I try to figure out what's going on how the world would handle it, or should I go back to God's word? How would Jesus handle it? This just happened to me. What would Jesus do with that? Right? We know the WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's a real thing. That's not something we just wear on a bracelet. Okay, I put the mindset on of Jesus Christ. Okay, if he's in this situation, how would he do this? That's what he's saying. Don't forget who your authority is. I do want to go to, you guys ever heard of the guy named King David? All right? God calls him a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. Now, we know the King David that slew Goliath early on. The King David had some kings, built temples and all these things. But somewhere in the middle, if you remember right, he had an issue with a young lady named Bathsheba who was taking a bath on a corner house not far from his palace. And he says, I like her. Go get her. And so they bring her to the palace. He has an indecent relationship with her. Her husband, who was fighting for David, where he should have been out doing, gets back from war. He tries to deceive him with some lies and things. That doesn't work, so he has him put in the front line of war. Basically has him murdered. So King David broke how many of the Ten Commandments? Bunches. There was lies and deceit and all kinds of things. And you know what God says? He sends, I still love this guy. So he sends someone to come and tell him the error of his ways. And David comes to a repentant heart. Says, you're right, God. God says, you're going to have to go through some discipline here because the things you did are bad. But brings him back into the fold. Do you think David had a reason to say this? Psalms 119:97, one of my favorite. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on them all day long. Half the book of Psalms, David says, I love your law. Your laws are so good. I love being around them. They make me free. I love the pasture I'm in because I know that your ways are better than the ones I've tried out in the world. I want to be known as a man after God's own heart, don't you? And the way to do that is to follow his commands. Call me Lord, Lord, but do what I say. I think David understood the freedom of being under God's authority. I think he understood where his safe place was, where real truth was in a world full of lies, because we're going to leave here today, and a world full of lies is waiting to attack us. And they don't just do it blatantly all the time. Sometimes they creep in. Sometimes they give you little nuances or little things to say, hey, this is not so bad. This is what the enemy did to Eve in the garden, right? He just deceived her. He tried to slow down things. And did God really mean that? Well, yeah. If he says it in here, that's what he means. And so we want to create a culture here at CCW that when God means something, he puts in his world, that's what we do. No matter what the attractiveness of the world may seem, I don't think it's all that attractive really anyway. But there is a freedom to knowing where you are and whose you belong to. Last verse. Jesus is talking to a group of Jewish people who really bought into what he's saying. They really love him. They want to follow him. They're just kind of checking him out still. But he says this. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Does that sound like God wants to have us bound up in some bunch of rules that follow that makes life no fun? I don't know about you, but I love the freedom of being under control of God, following his commands, living a free life to know who my boss is. And it's over here. It's not over there. I live here under God's authority so that I can exist there to make disciples. And that's what we're going to be talking about for this month. We're going to celebrate freedom on Tuesday. And so I thought we'd do is we'd end the service with a song about freedom, about whose we are. And so if the band wants to come back up, I just want to just talk about the fact that we are free to follow God's laws. It's not some prison cell we're in. We are free to be his kids. I love Jesus. I love the fact that he's given me a rule book to go by so I don't have to guess who he is. I love the fact there's been truth since day one there, and there's been no lies. Nothing contradicts itself. We just got to remember to read the whole thing for ourselves. Have we all got traditions? Yep. I was taught some traditions too. In fact, I remember I got confronted with biblical truth one time, and I didn't like it. And I left, and I separated myself for a while, but you know what happened? God's truth didn't move. And once I started getting back into God's word and figure out for myself, I knew I was wrong. He wasn't wrong. And so is the beauty of it. We're free. We are not in bondage to be over here. We are free to be over here so that we can make disciples. Does that make sense? As we leave here today, we're going to celebrate 4th of July somewhere this weekend and probably on Tuesday. But also remember, we are free because God set us free from the slavery of sin and shame by the name Jesus Christ, which who we serve today under his truth. Will you guys pray with me?